Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. If you're new here, new listener, it's your first episode. Welcome. Welcome to this week's podcast. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for supporting us week in and week out with your listening. And I pray and I hope that it has been a blessing to you as much as it's been a blessing to me. As God gives me these revelations, they are such a blessing for my life. It is life-changing, and it is very empowering. And I pray as you continue to listen that you will be forever transformed by the renewing of your mind, and God heals you and empowers you and give you purpose and everything you need that is lacking in your faith to supply you for your destiny and your purpose in Him, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen and amen and amen. Let's get started on this episode. Episode's not going to be that long. It's going to be mostly scripture. And yeah, let's go ahead and open up in prayer before we get started here. You know, around here, you know, we let it pray. You know, that's foundational. God is the chief cornerstone whom the builders rejected, but we do not reject Him. Amen. Hallelujah. He is our chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. And our foundation, hallelujah, should be our prayer and our connection to that chief cornerstone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Abba, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. God, we invite you into this session. We invite you into this studio. We invite you into every room, every car, every situation, every scene that somebody is in listening to this podcast. And Father God, I pray that you meet each and every one of us where we are at, God. And you speak to us in a way, God, that we can understand, that only we can understand, Father God, that you speak our prophetic languages, Lord, that we may hear you clearly with clarity, Father God, and we may meet you, Father God, in a way that we have never met you before. Hallelujah, Father God. We are wanting to go into the next level with you, God. We don't want the same old, as life has been for many of us, God. Lord, we want to go and experience the fullness and all that it is that you promise us, God. We want to experience, God, everything, the great and awesome stuff that you talk about in your word, God. We want to live this thing. Hallelujah. The fullness of what your kingdom offers, Father God. We've had enough of what this world can offer us, life, God. But we know, God, that you came to give us life and all its abundance, Lord God, and that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I pray, Father God, that you anoint this message. I pray, Father God, that you anoint every listener, Lord God, and even anoint me, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this time, Lord, I decrease that you may increase, God. I must become less so that you can become more. Lord God, I step out of your way right now. You enter in and you do the speaking. You enter in and you do the ministering, God. Not that I should receive any amount of glory, God, but you get all the glory, God. No flesh will glory in your presence, Father God, in this work, in this time, or in this ministry, Father. Take your rightful place, God, your rightful dominion, hallelujah, high, and on your throne, Father God. As you said, heaven is your throne and earth is your footstool, hallelujah. Bridge the gap between heaven and earth, Lord God. Rabashe, let heaven invade earth, God, in the name of Jesus. Whew, on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now, this week's episode, hallelujah, is a pretty good episode. I believe so, because it is one major key to breakthrough and to the next level, and to the next level with God. You see, a lot of us have been stagnated in our walk with God. A lot of us have been delayed. A lot of us have been set back. A lot of us keep going around the mountain like the children of God, the Israelites in the desert, and never have reached the promised land. Took the next generation and God to kill that generation in order for the Israelites as a nation to go and receive their promise. This right here is one major key for breakthrough. You see, I titled this thing, "What Manner of Spirit Are You?" Now, we're going to open up. Actually, we're not going to open up. I say this whole thing is basically going to stay in Luke, the book of Luke. And we're going to bounce around a little bit, but it's in the book of Luke. And we have a couple other scriptures to go in there, you know, to define this major key. Amen. Hallelujah. So Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56 reads, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set out to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before him. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. They rejected him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." Okay? "And when his disciples, James, John, and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there's a couple keys in this thing that I see. I see, which I did point out earlier, it says that they did not receive him, meaning they rejected him. You know, as he's going on to his journey to Jerusalem, you know, he's stopping on his way. He's seeing opportunities. He's like, "Hey, okay, let me go ahead and spread the message of the kingdom of God," which is a blessing. Basically, it's not something new. It's just restoring and reconciling all things back to its original order and its original purpose in which God created man. You see, a lot of us, when we become saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, a lot of our loved ones, a lot of our old friends, a lot of our old stomping grounds, they don't want to acknowledge it. You know, they want to still treat you like the old you. They don't want to respect what it is that you represent, the morals and the values that you stand upon. They don't want to respect it. They reject it because they reject God. They're not rejecting you. And even then, they refuse to believe you. Believe that you, they'll be like, okay, eventually, you know, this facade is going to be up. Eventually, this new trend of his or hers is going to be up. And then we're going to start to see the real him or her appear. Or we look around and we see different belief systems, different ways of living, different ideologies, things that oppose the kingdom of God that we just don't agree with, we don't settle with. And we think that God should come and consume them all and just get rid of them all for the sake of our sanity. You know, for the sake of our comfort, because we think the world should look like us or look like the way that we think it should, right? When we have this type of mind, or as Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you know what manner of spirit you are of?" You see, when we are too busy trying to go around and cause destruction, to others for their belief systems or their way of living, or because they just simply reject you or reject us, reject Christianity or whatever it is they reject, or whatever it is that opposes our belief systems or our way of living. What manner of spirit are we? You see, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. And it says they went to another village. Okay, so look, if you get rejected, if your message is rejected, if your lifestyle is rejected, you go to a place where it is ripe and ready for the message, for your calling, for your purpose, and your destiny. Hallelujah. Because even Jesus said it himself, a prophet is not accepted in his own home, in his own land, in his own hometown. You see, because these people think they know you because they knew you growing up. But they can't see and they don't understand what God is doing in you today. That God is interested in you, the person, that personality that they despise and they judge and look down upon. That's what God wants. God wants that. He does not reject that. He takes that and he transforms it and uses it for the perfection of his use. Amen. So when you see these things, it is important for us not to become offended. It is important for us to not take on the manner or spirit of, okay, let's go ahead and bring vengeance upon these people. We're going to go ahead and bring some revenge type of mindset. Get back. Let us not judge these people the same way that we would judge someone, you know. Let's not judge them the same way we judge Satan, basically. They're not the devil. They're people. They're just like us. Amen. We were once ignorant, you know, walking around without the full understanding of who we are. And we were once not knowing God. We were lost. We were living in sin. We were in darkness. We were blind. We were sick. You see, what we have now today is a grace. It is a gift and it is not a right. It was given to us. We didn't work for it. We didn't go find it. It found us. God found us. God chose us. And with this mindset, okay, we have to look at others who are where we once was. You see, it doesn't matter what status in life the person is. It does not mean that the person cannot be blind. It does not mean that the person cannot be lost. You see what I'm saying? The person just have different weaknesses and different strengths. So what manner of spirit are we? Now, when we look at these people that say these ignorant things to us, when we look at people that, you know, oppose our way of living, oppose us as believers, do we look at them as an adult who's mature and looking at a child saying some crazy, horrendous things and is just immature? I'm going to tell you one thing. That's the way God looks at us a lot of times. You see, so when we see a child, you know, saying and doing horrendous things, what do? You see, you don't judge them and you don't want to destroy them. You see them as ignorant and needing to be taught. So you teach them with your mercy, hallelujah, with an appropriate manner, and you model the way. You show them how it is done, hallelujah. And the child is but ignorant, and so are those that don't know God. You see, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. See, we have all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. You see, a lot of times when we become saved, especially in the beginning of our walk, right, we become very, we misunderstand in which, in a way we should conduct ourselves, in a way that we should think, right, in a way that we should treat and look at people, right? We don't automatically have the eyes of God yet, or the heart of God in a way that he looks at people, right, whether they serve him or not. And, you know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 17, it talks about the sinful nature versus the spiritual nature. You see, a lot of us, we struggle in the flesh. Our flesh isn't completely yielded yet. As the disciple says, right? You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. As Apostle Paul said, right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? You know, the sinful nature is wrestling with the spiritual nature. But before I go into that, I want to go ahead and flip over to, what's that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. You know, I definitely feel that there is something there that we don't want to miss. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 12. So we're going to go ahead and be using our Bible this time around. Usually I already have it there to read, but, you know, we're just going to flip you some pages. Go through the full and wonderful experience of the journey. All right, so it says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Okay, so let us not be like the brute beasts. Let us not be like, you know, people that have this tunnel vision, right? When you're going through a tunnel driving in your car, all you're focused on is what's ahead of you. You're focused on getting out of the tunnel, but what you do not focus on is the wonderful, beautiful world outside of the tunnel of your vision. There's so much more space, so much more of a world, so much more of a universe. You see, let us not lean on our own understanding, right? And in all our ways, let us acknowledge God, and he shall direct our paths. Amen. He shall keep us on that straight and narrow path. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us not be like, you know, brute beasts, people who are evil, constantly judging, constantly gossiping, constantly slandering folks, because of the weaknesses or because of the blindness, you know? Let's not speak evil of the things that we do not understand. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know where people came from. And we most certainly do not know what God is doing in a person's life. Just because they reject you, or even if they reject God, obviously God knows the whole story, and he knows every ending to every story. God is working. God is in the midst. It is time that we trust God. It is time that we believe God, because if we believe God, we will be partnering with God. Amen. So now, the sinful nature versus the spiritual nature in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. I want to make this quick. I want to make make this quick and not be on this particular topic or section too long, because I want to go into the keys of breakthrough that is found in the book of Luke that God highlighted for me. Amen. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 17. It reads, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Hallelujah. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Hallelujah. I want to stop right there real quick and go back to that passage, to go back to that statement that the disciples ignorantly, James and John, spotted out when they saw something that they didn't like. They became offended, right? It was like, do you want us to call down some fire from heaven to consume them, right? See, they were of the flesh. You see, it says the mind, the fleshly mind, right, is basically death. It says the carnal mind, the person, is death, but the spiritually minded person is life and peace. You see, when you're walking in the Spirit and you have a spiritual mind, you promote life. You respect life. You love life. You love all lives, right? And you're of peace. You bring peace to the situation. You are a peacemaker, right? Not so much of a problem solver, but you are a peacemaker. Hallelujah. You're not going to add to the problem by saying, getting all up in the flesh and bringing that mindset of death. Amen. Now, verse 7, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." The carnal, the flesh, it's everything. It's against God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." It says that when we are in the flesh and we are carnally minded, we're not pleasing to God. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you," hallelujah, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Amen. Hallelujah. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors," hallelujah, "not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Amen. Bear with me a little bit. I'm trying to get rid of some of these ye's. But hallelujah. It says, "They that are led by the Spirit," the Bible calls them the sons of God. You see, when we live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, giving no opportunity to the flesh, hallelujah, that pleases God. God calls you a son or a daughter. Hallelujah. You are in the family of God when you walk in the Spirit and not operate in the flesh. When you're operating in the flesh, you belong to the world. You belong to this dimension. When you're operating in the flesh, hallelujah, you're easily controlled by another kingdom. And that is not the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Amen. When you're in the Spirit, because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Says, For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Come on. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be so glorified together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what manner of spirit you are of? You see, rightfully so, we look at God. This is almighty and great and powerful being. We look at Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, King of kings, right? And Lord of lords. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? We look at that. We believe that. We profess that. We walk in that. But then again, when we see things that just don't settle right with us, we take that and we want to curse with it. We want to curse another with it. We want God to be our hitman. We want God to go and do our bidding. Talking about, I'm going to call down fire from heaven to consume them. You see, but the way of Jesus, right? He said, if anybody wants to follow me, he must what? Pick up his cross, right? Deny himself and follow me. You see, this path is a path of suffering. Whoever told you that this path is a path of so much blessing lied to you. Of course, it's a blessing. Don't get it twisted. But hey, the path is a path of suffering. Why? Because we have a fleshly nature. Why? It's because we live in this world and we're not supposed to be of this world. You see, we still have a carnal mind that needs to be worked out into the spiritual mind, which is life, right? That is why. It says that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the reason why he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, when we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him together. Amen. And he is already glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, let's go ahead and go over to 1 Corinthians 2:14 before I go ahead and just get through the rest of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. I'm going to flip through the pages. Going to flip there with me. All right, amen. So chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Says, but if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with so much sorrow. Yeah, I'm trying to. That's interesting because I wasn't even actually looking for that verse, but this actually fits. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We're going to go with that. Most certainly. Yeah, so. So, yeah, so when you bring the punishment, right, when you have that punishing spirit, when you have that manner of spirit, you know, which has inflicted many, but contrariwise, you must rather to forgive and comfort, right? So the person will not be swallowed up with so much sorrow. Because the suffering, right, that kind of suffering, not the suffering for righteousness' sake, that kind of suffering for the sinful nature's sake, for the world's sake, is basically a victory for the kingdom of darkness. And we are to expose and destroy the kingdom of darkness by bringing and ushering in and advancing the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, as kingdom citizens, right? As children of the Most High God, right? As heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what Jesus did. Do you know what manner of spirit you are of? Hallelujah. I got a few other scriptures there, but I'm going to go ahead and continue on, because that right there was good. The Holy Ghost took me there, and that wasn't even it. Hallelujah. So offenses, right? Unforgiveness, bitterness, a lot of times leads to sickness and disease and even spiritual and mental and emotional bondages. You know, it keeps us stagnant. It keeps us going around in circles, you know, not really advancing in life, not living life to the fullest, because we're stuck with bitterness, stuck with unforgiveness, stuck with offenses, struggling to forgive, struggling to let go, struggling to move on, struggling to get over it. Why do we hold on to these things? See, these are the main ways we give up our kingdom rights as kingdom citizens in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness. We give up our kingdom rights to the kingdom of darkness for spiritual and mental bondage. You see, Luke chapter 17 has some really good keys for the deliverance from the spirit of offense. Come on. Chapter 17, verse 1 to 4, hallelujah, gives you the power of release and forgiveness. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. It's impossible. You're going to get offended. People are going to disrespect you. Things ain't going to always go right. Amen. It is impossible that no offense will come, right? But woe to him through whom they do come, right? Woe to who? Is it woe to you that the offense come? No, it's woe to him through whom did it come. Woe to the person that did it, okay? That person is the one that is damned. That person is the one that has the conflict, not us, amen? Woe to him through whom they do come. Amen. Verse 2. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Confront him. Don't hold that back. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Amen. The key right there is just forgiveness. Letting it go. Because we have an understanding that, hey, this person is going through some woes. It's like the Bible says, but woe to him through whom they do come. Okay, like this person is basically sinking and drowning in life. It's like it's better for him to tie a millstone around his neck and go and jump in the ocean and go and drown himself. This person is sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking. We should have some compassion, and we should feel sorry for these people. And when that person comes and asks for forgiveness, we will automatically forgive them, okay? This is the key. Hallelujah. And even if they say, I repent, but you don't automatically see the change, we're going to be patient, right? As the Bible says, right? Bear one another's faults, right? Bear one another's weaknesses out of reverence, right? For Christ. Actually, it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But there's one in Ephesians chapter 4, too, right? Bearing with one another in love, right? And being patient with each other's faults. Amen. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Go ahead and look that one up. Chapter 17, verse 5 to 6. The power of sowing faith that gives increase. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and which of you, having a servant, plowing or treading sheep, tending sheep, not treading, I mean, don't tread sheep, or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? Oh, okay, hold on. I skipped something here. My bad. Let's go back to verse 5 to 6. The power of sowing faith that gives increase. It says, and the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. You see, we pray that a lot, don't we? Increase our faith, because we struggled in our beliefs. We struggled in our doubts. We struggled in our flesh. We're like, God, increase our faith, right? So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. So Christ is basically saying, what you have is enough. Do not focus on what you do not have. You see, a lot of times we look at all these great and mighty Christians, these people with great and awesome faith doing extraordinary things, and we think what we don't have is enough, and we like, God, what's wrong with me? Increase my faith. You see, we must not focus on what we do not have, but focus on what we do have, the little bit of faith we do have. We use that for change. We use that to make changes. Because the faith that we do have is more than enough. God said, you just give me a little bit. I'm going to show up and show out so much more and so much greater than you've ever would have been able to expect. And that in of itself is going to increase your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and move on to chapter 17, verse 7 to 10. It says, this is the power of being humble and content with doing what's right. Okay. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come and from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Amen. You see, a lot of times, you know, especially in this service, when we serve God or when we get involved in a church, a lot of times we get in it with the wrong motives. Sometimes it's the right motives, but sometimes we get sidetracked. And then we invite confusion. We invite spirits of offense, all types of different things to come in and dilute what God has done in us. Amen. Because we are looking for recognition and we forgot who it is that we were serving, that we were not serving a man of God, that we were not serving a church, that we were not serving people. We were serving the one and only true master, God, Jesus Christ. We are unprofitable servants. We're not doing this for profits. We're not doing this for recognition. We're not doing this for fame. We're not doing this for applause. We have done what we were supposed to do. Amen. We are simply being obedient. And we take great joy, hallelujah, and contentment. You know, our fulfillment is the fact that we obey the voice of God, that we obey the commands of God. And knowing that we have pleased God because we are consistent in following those demands. Amen. Whether it is said or not, we know because we know that we are doing it. Amen. As the Bible says, a faith without works is what? Is dead. A faith without works is dead. And earlier we found out what? We found out the carnal mind is death. So a faith without the works is carnal. We're just talking the talk, right? We're not walking the walk. We're just talking the talk and we're looking good. We're trying to get that recognition. And we're becoming offended. So here's another key, a key to wholeness, right? A major key to wholeness, which is also a major key to contentment. Amen. And I'm not talking about the key to Paul's contentment, right? Doing all things through Christ that strengthens me. That right there is a major key for sure. But this one right here, keeping it in context with what it is we're reading in chapter 17, the book of Luke, verse 11 to 19. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, right, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Hallelujah. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, where are there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You see, this right here is the power of gratitude and not taking things for granted. Hallelujah. Not taking what God does in our lives for granted. Granted, not taking the blessings of God in our lives for granted, not taking the people that God gives us in our lives for granted. Amen. You see, later on in that story, we find out in the next couple verses that as a result of that man coming to glorify and praise God and show gratitude, God said, you know, go on ahead. You know, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. You see, he received the fullness of that blessing by going to go and glorify and praise God and show gratitude. Fullness. Now, the Bible doesn't really say what happened to the ones that didn't, the other 9 that didn't come back. But we know that they missed out on something that is very precious. Amen. So here's the key to complete deliverance. Chapter 17, verse 20 to 37 reads, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not here. It's not there. It's not in that fad or that new age or whatever thing that is relevant to today, trying to keep relevant. It's not in none of that. The kingdom of God is within you. It is a mindset. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. Amen. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. See, it's not here or there. It's within you. God is within. Ain't no way you're going to sit here and tell me who and what God is or God is, and it doesn't not line up with the God that is within, or the kingdom of God that is within. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not going to come at me with some counterfeit religion or some counterfeit practices and traditions. And I know that the kingdom of God is within me, that God is within me. God is within us. Hallelujah. For as the lightning that flashes, you see, I'm going to say this real quick. I just got this prompted. You see, religion and the world and the system of the world, right? That keeps us with that carnal mind, which is death, right? Keeps us looking outward for our identity, outward for our existence, outward for life, right? Outward for our belief systems, outward for the meaning of our existence, outward. Everything goes outward. This whole system keeps us looking outward. Outward for our plight in life. We constantly go and apply for things, you know, with the government, so that way they can give us favors so that we could have something different in some kind of way, right? Outward, outward, outward. We constantly go to different great men and women that we respect. Don't get it twisted. These things are good, but we put way too much importance on these things. It constantly has us looking outward. And I'm not talking about looking outward in the way that we should look outward, in the way that Jesus Christ looked outward, right? Because he came not to destroy man's lives, but to save them. He was looking outward. He wasn't offended by that. It's a different looking outward. In this way, we're talking about looking outward when you of the spiritual mind, which is life, right? We know that the kingdom of God is within us, that God is within you. We're not looking outward for our identity. We're not looking outward for our existence. Like, for instance, when I have to go ahead and fill out a job application, or when I have to fill out an application to go to university, I have to put that I'm black, non-Hispanic. Or some of them says African-American. You see, that is a label or an identity that is from an outward source. That has nothing to do with my bloodline. That has nothing to do with the traditions or anything that has been passed on through my family. That is them telling me who I am. But I know that God is within me. I know that the kingdom of God is within me. I know who I am. I know my identity. That is not my identity. I would not allow some external source to tell me who I am. Amen. I just use that as an example. Praise God. So let's continue to read on. Then he said to his disciples, "Days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They, you know, were vibing, having a lot of fun, you know, out in the world, doing worldly things. You know, they were living their best life. They were securing the bag. They were given in marriage until the day that Lot went out of Sodom, right? Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Whoo, man, I got a revelation for that for you guys. That right there is symbolic of something that did take place, but I'm not going to speak on it here. But eventually, you know, it's definitely a perspective to consider. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it is absolute truth, but the Bible is full of symbolisms, you know, and if you understand it correctly, you'll see who's what, where's what, and what happened, when it happened, and when you look at today's world, you'll know who's who. Amen. So let's go ahead and, you know, continue on with this thing. So the key here is what? The key here is anyone who seeks to preserve their life will lose it. Right? But he who loses his life will find it. You see, we do not become consumed by the things of this world. Look, it says, you know, they ate, they drank, you know, they was partying, you know, living alive, you know. I'm not saying that you don't party and celebrate. There's nothing wrong with celebration. It's why we celebrate, right? But if we live in our life just to celebrate, if that's all there is to life, a lot of people live their lives like that. Want to go clubbing. Oh, let's go have some drinks. You know, you just work just to go and have some drinks. What the heck are we celebrating? Being a slave, working our tail off, that's it? Like, for real, what are we doing? What's the purpose? You know, what are we doing in life? Where are we going? You know, what is the dream? What is the vision? What are we doing? All right? And it also talked about in the days of Noah, talking about commerce, everybody was concerned with the stock market. Everybody was concerned with buy, selling, and trading, and trading. You know, planning, building, and all these different things. Everybody concerned with securing that bag, right? But they wasn't concerned with the things of God. They wasn't concerned with, see, the reason why Noah and the reason why Lot was spared is because they wasn't too concerned with those things to the point where that consumed their daily life. They were concerned with the things of God. You see, they set that thing to the side so that they were able to be in line with God, and they was able to receive the vision, or they was able to receive the call, or was able to receive the word of God, in which helped them to find life, to be preserved in that day of calamity that came. Amen. So this right here is a key to the deliverance. See, when we're not so consumed by these different things, okay, and not so too busy looking at where we fall short with these things, right? We find life. We're no longer stressed out by these things, because we know that my God shall supply all our needs in his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying that we don't go and, you know, interact in these things, just like I said, when it came to celebration. But we know who we are. We have our identity, right? It is in him that we move, right? That we breathe, and that we have our being, right? In God, not in these things. These things does not determine our existence. These things do not measure who we are. You have, you know, this thing, you know, when you Google, you always see somebody's net worth, and we judge somebody's importance in society or somebody's level of success in life by their net worth. You see, we don't follow that. That is the world system. That is the carnal mind that brings death. Amen. We are of the Spirit. We are of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there is no poverty. There is no net worth. There's an unlimited supply. Amen. Come on. Come on. Unlimited supply. There ain't no net worth. We're prosperous. Amen. Because we're of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of that spirit, right? As it says, that spiritual mind brings life, right? Christ came to give you life in all its abundance. Come on. An abundant life. Come on. What is abundance? Plenty. Bountiful. Come on. Hallelujah. Prosperous. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm going to go ahead and end it with this. You know, in the days of Noah, just like today, right? People are having celebrations. Many so-called prophets prophesying marriages, and many are getting married among a flood of COVID-19, terrible economy, economic crises, right? Terrorist threats, wars, rumors of wars, you know, just so much turmoil. You see, the days of Lot, many were stuck in the past, talking about make America great again. Man, this would have been so great for that season. How about we liberate the world from evil? How about that? How about we truly get serious about righteousness and true justice? Surely, you know, in its so-called greatness, many evils were done. Many, the days of Lot, is about not looking back and looking forward until the day of Christ, right? Many. So the thing is this, what we learn from the Lot story, and I'm going to close with this. It's important that we don't look back. And I use the whole Make America Great Again thing as an example, because as people, we have a very, very bad habit of looking back. Like even in church, talking about revival, we're looking back, looking at the things of, oh, God is a God of today, yesterday, and forever, right? But that doesn't mean he wants to take you back. Why look back? Look to him today. You know, as Jesus Christ said, give us today our daily bread. It's a new portion, right? It's a new thing. God is doing a new thing. You see, there's a newness, something new to be done, to be achieved, right? To be accomplished with our nation. Amen. There's a future that is brighter than any sun could ever shine if we all come together collectively and grab hold of it, if we continue to stop looking back. Look forward together. It is a possibility. I guarantee you it is possible. All things are possible with God to those that believe. All things are possible. All these different things that are a struggle or are a conflict has to do with the own vain imaginations in man's own heart. And we keep looking back. And we look back to justify those vain imaginations in man's own heart. We must repent. For the kingdom of God is near. Amen. Hallelujah. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in with me this week. Praise God. I hope you were blessed by this word. So, yeah, go ahead and check out that cleansing stream that will be up later. The cleansing stream segment that I have that is not going to be a part of this particular episode, but it's its own segment. Do look for that. I'm going to be praying. And dealing with this spirit, you know, praying that God cleanses and completely deliver us. And we shall be delivered. We shall be cleansed. Amen. Through the power of forgiveness, not just our own forgiveness, deciding to let it go, but also the forgiveness of God. Amen. Because he says that if we do not forgive, we won't be forgiven. Amen. Judge ye not or you shall be judged. Hallelujah. So definitely tune in to that. Look for that for that segment. It's called Cleansing Stream. Hallelujah. And once again, I want to let you guys know that we have something in the works called Guerrilla Faith Podcast. It's going to be a story of ordinary people with extraordinary faith and an extraordinary God. And they were able to do extraordinary things. Amen. This is intended to encourage you, bless you, and increase our faith, right? And supply what is lacking in our faith by hearing a lot of great stories of struggle and triumph. Amen. Hallelujah. Through the power of God and the grace and the favor of God. Amen. So yeah, once again, make sure you go ahead and check out that next, that other segment, Cleansing Stream. And if you feel like you want to support us, you can go ahead and check out the website, 517redeemed.com. There we have episodes updated there a little bit later than the podcast platforms. We are on Apple, Google, and Spotify for right now. And but yeah, you can go ahead and go on that website, click on the donation link, and go ahead and give anything that you feel led to go ahead and try and support this work, support this ministry, support the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So we can continue to advance further God's kingdom, right? God's vision. Amen. Know that I love you. Bless you. You have a wonderful day. God loves you. Amen.